The words of God given to us today is Acts chapter 15, verse 30 to 35. It is on the page 214 in the New Testament. Allow me to read. The men were sent off and went down to Antioch, where they gathered the church together and delivered the letter. The people read it and were glad for its encouraging message. Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, said much to encourage and strengthen the brothers. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the brothers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they had and many others taught and preached the words of the Lord. Amen. One of the main typical models of early church on the earth was that the church members had a life of sharing. In the Acts chapter 4 verse 32 says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared every day they had. What this verse means is that whether they had more or less, what the church members possessed were used together. They were used together. In other words, they lived life of sharing. To share in Greek is koinos, which means common or public in adjective form. If this was to be translated directly, it would mean the early church members have put their possessions at the place of common sharing and common use. Mark chapter 7 delivers the story of Pharisees and teachers of the law who were just seeking out a chance to pick an argument with Jesus. They scold the disciples of Jesus when they did not wash their hands before eating the bread. Back then, Jewish people always washed their hands before eating. It was not for the purpose of hygiene, but was part of religious tradition. Touching the food with dirty hands would make the food dirty, and consuming that food would be making one's body dirty as well. This belief did not originate from the Bible. It was made so by the human. However, the Jewish people treated this belief in tradition as though it was told by the God, and no one would go against this belief. Therefore, when the disciples of Jesus ate bread without washing their hands, it was a good quarrel to pick. Mark says, so the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Pharisees and teachers of law called the unwashed hand unclean hands, which means dirty hands. What is important here is that if we look at the Greek version, the word unclean or dirty, the koinos in adjective form. The members of early church lived a shared life is evident in Acts chapter 4 verse 32 by use of word koinos meaning sharing, and in Mark chapter 7 it uses the word koinos meaning unclean. In other words, the word koinos has meaning of both unclean and sharing. There is a very significant message here. Anybody who uses a product all by oneself can use it clean. But when it is shared with others and used with others, then it will become dirty. And the more people use it, the easier the product will become dirty. In this perspective, the two meanings that Greek word koinos carries seems very logical. What is more surprising is that this word koinos has important relationship with word koinonia. Koinonia is translated as to make relationship. However, as spoken in the New Believers class, it is not the best translation. Koinonia has much more deeper meaning just than to make relationship to our hearts and minds. Therefore, in Corinthians 2, chapter 13, verse 13, koinonis is translated as fellowship. Instead of just superficial relationship building or socialization, this means sharing everything in various levels, including what is in our hearts, minds, and thoughts. Isn't it so significant that koinonia, which means fellowship among the people, is related to the word koinos, which means common or unclean? This is a surprising message. When I live a life of koinonia, then I pursue a life commonly shared. When I pursue life commonly shared, then I make it dirtied by others, and my life will get dirtied by others. In other words, my life becoming unclean by other people's life. When someone does not want to get unclean by other people, then the person cannot share or commonly use anything with others. If this is the case, then that person would not want to share any aspect of his or her life with others, since it would make the person's life unclean. In this case, the person cannot build fellowship with others. Therefore, it is so logical that the word for sharing, unclean, and fellowship all have similar meanings. The early church, when compared to the church of today, had much smaller size, system, and programs. Nevertheless, that small-sized early church was able to bring out innovations and surprising history. It is because all church members eagerly lived the life of koinonia for fellowship and allowed their lives to be koinous. And they were true Christians. The second semester of this year, the final book we studied was Ruth. Ruth is a very short book. Ruth became widow, and she has served her mother-in-law, Naomi, going against her nation. Naomi was so impressed by Ruth's faith, so she encouraged Ruth to remarry, and Ruth gave birth to Obed. This story is not very special. This story is something that can be found in any other fables and stories. But Ruth may have a trivial story, but it has a very special ending and closure. After remarrying and having Obed as son, Obed is the grandfather of David, who started the new history of Israel. If Ruth had not taken care of her mother-in-law in faith of God, there would be no way that David would have been born. In other words, it was God's work that David be born as the grandson of that, as a blessing of God, who was grateful for what Ruth has done. Ruth, who became a young widow, could have just listened to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and gone back to her biological parents' home. If she had returned to her parents' home, she could have lived a comfortable life under the protection of their parents. But Ruth, despite her mother-in-law's insistence, chose the path that would require her to take care of mother-in-law. The decision of this young Ruth to live with Naomi, the mother-in-law, represents Ruth's resolution to live a life of fellowship with her mother-in-law, which is a life of koinonia. This also meant that she would gladly accept the life of hardship of Naomi. Ruth did this because she believed that this was the life of true faith. This is why God allowed David, who changed the course of history, and be born through Ruth and brought the change of new history in Israel. As we just learned from Ruth and the early church, why does God work and pursue His purpose through those who gladly perform koinos in order to realize koinonia through a life of pursuit of fellowship with others? What does it mean that God made His children and we inherited God's kingdom? Because it is because of the Trinity God. God has made us His children, and He has inherited God's kingdom to us. It means that God is God of koinonia, who is in fellowship with us sinners, so that we may live in the kingdom of God. The method, or what was the method that was adopted by God in order to make this possible? By coming to this world as a humble human being, God, the Son, did koinos. Jesus did not lead a life of proud isolation while remaining or living on the earth. In order to live in fellowship with other human beings and with sinners and with wretched and humble people of this world, Jesus performed koinos. He shared bread with poor and touched all the sick and ill who came to Him. And He touched the wounds of the ill people. His hand was the hand of koinos. And in the end, in order to sacrifice Himself for the sin of the man, He offered Himself completely on the cross. And He koinosed His entire body from head to toe. In this way, because of God is God of koinos, who koinosed Himself for us, we were able to receive the kingdom of God and become God's children, who can coin us with God. Because of this Trinity, God is such a being. God works and realizes His intent through those who know how to live a life of koinonia in order to koinos Himself. If that is so, in this moment, we can provide a new definition of true Christian. A Christian is someone who takes after Trinity God, who koinosed Himself in order to have koinonia with us, and by doing so, engages in koinos in order to live a life of koinonia. The Christian Gentiles of Antioch became glad when they heard the decision of the Jerusalem Councilling through Paul, Barnabas, Judas, and Silas. In the verse 32, Judas and Silas, who themselves were prophets, had much to encourage and strengthen the believers. Judas and Silas, who were sent by the Jerusalem church to personally deliver the decision of the Jerusalem council, were also prophets who knew the word of God. They delivered the letter and, after explaining the decision, also comforted and encouraged the Gentile Christians of Antioch and really strengthened their faith. In verse 33, after spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. When the time came, Judas and Silas were sent off by the Gentile Christians of Antioch to return to Jerusalem church which had sent them. But what is strange here is that there's nothing in the verse 34. It says no text available. And there's a footnote, number 3. And if you refer to footnote, it says some manuscripts include, but Silas decide to remain here. I have once mentioned before, there's no original manuscript of Bible. Only copies made by the hand remain now. The study of the study of trying to determine the copy that is closest to original Bible is called codicology. And there are many different opinions among the scholars in terms of what is closer to the original manuscript. And there is some principles that they make this decision to. There is this established principle on which the determination to make which is the closest to the original version. That is to say, it must be the older, the shorter, and the more difficult to understand. Therefore, the transcriber when transcribing the text may have provided an easier interpretation to difficult sections and changed a difficult word to an easier word to understand the content better. That is why the longer, more difficult to understand version is determined to be closer to the original. By following this principle, the fact that there is a footnote on the manuscript, although most do not contain such language, means that while copying this verse, the transcriber made such an addition. If that is true, why would he have done so? In verse 40 and 41, Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Silas and Cilicia, strengthening their churches. As we will see later, Paul and Barnabas, who before made a good team, end up going separate ways before the second missionary journey because they were unable to agree as whom they would take with them on this journey. As they did during their first missionary journey, Barnabas wanted to take Mark, but Paul opposed to this because Mark had irresponsibly abandoned them in Perga during their first missionary journey. As a result, Paul took Silas on his second missionary journey. Thus, in order to naturally link today's link with that text, the transcriber may have included the phrase, "But Silas decided to remain there." However, codicology scholars, based on the established principle of codicology, and they determined that the versions which contain such addition may not be reliable. And although it's not included in the main text, a footnote suggests the idea. If this is so, and if there are so many versions that differ to each other, the question arises as to which version we can fully rely on. However, we don't need to worry about this. Although there are so many versions on this, but the main points coincide so exactly across all of the versions, and those which does not coincide are not quite significant, and they are not related to the issue of our salvation. Let us go back to today's scripture. In verse 33, Judas and Silas returned to Jerusalem. However, the fact that Paul started the second missionary trip with Silas meant that Paul asked Silas, who then was in Jerusalem, to come down to Antioch. Why Silas? Why Paul did not choose to Judas? Paul met Judas and Silas at Jerusalem. He met both of them at the same time. They were both prophets. Since their names had been introduced in verse 22 for the first time, Judas' name came before Silas throughout the Bible. This means that Judas is senior to Silas. In addition, Judas is introduced as a leader in verse 22. He was not an ordinary believer in the Jerusalem church, but was responsible for guiding fellow Christians. Whether in terms of seniority or the degree of responsibility, Judas came before Silas. Then, for Paul, Judas could have been a better person and helper and more experienced partner like Barnabas than Silas. However, Paul chose Silas, not Judas, as his partner on the second missionary trip. Why did he choose Silas? Although we don't know the exact reason, we can come down with one good reason. What is evangelism? It is delivering the way of life that Jesus showed us to us. The life of koinonia, the way to live the life of koinonia. It is to deliver that way of koinonia, the life of koinos. In order to live this koinonia life, one has to offer himself as koinos. Why did Paul part from Barnabas, who suggested starting the second missionary trip with Mark? Why did Mark leave Paul and Barnabas in Pamphylia without their permission and return to his hometown? That is because Mark got scared. As soon as Mark arrived at Pamphylia, Paul caught endemic disease and they had to travel steep Taurus mountains known for appearance of bandits in order to go to next destination that Paul chose, Pisidia, Antioch. To the eyes of Paul, Mark was not a person to offer himself as a koinos, to offer a life of koinonia, and show the way to life of koinonia. Therefore, in this perspective, we can understand that one clear reason why Paul chose Silas over Judas. To Paul, Silas was better fitted to offer himself as a koinos to form life of koinos with others. Similar to the first missionary trip, the second missionary trip that Paul went on with Silas was a series of koinos events requiring them to offer themselves as a koinos. However, they did not hesitate to offer themselves as a koinos for the way, to deliver the life of koinos as the way. And they became the first evangelist who traveled from Asia to Europe to deliver the gospel in 2,000 years of Christian history. This is a result brought by the Lord personally working on them, the Lord who offered himself, his life, as koinos for the koinonia with other people. Next week, and the last Sunday of this year, is December 25th, the Christmas Day. If we think about the meaning of Christmas, then in fact, this week is the last Sunday of this year. This year, our church slogan was, "Wait for the Lord," from the Psalm 27, verse 14. During this past year, we have awaited and prayed for the Lord to fulfill His will through our lives and our church, and to shape us in the form that He wants us to be, and to guide us in accordance in His way. During such waiting, we may have faced shining days, or rainy days, or stormy days. Or our life may have progressed as planned, or we may have regressed. However, whatever circumstances we had gone through this past year, one thing that we clearly realize is that Lord has made us to wait for the Jehovah God and become a Christian who can gladly offer ourselves to become a person of koinos, so that we can live the life of true Christian, communicating and building fellowship with other people. Psalm 27 is a song of David, who's a grandson, great-grandson of Ruth. David, whose song, "Wait for the Lord," he himself waited for the Lord for a long time. When King Saul and his 3,000 special army used every effort to kill David out of jealousy, David had to be in flight for 10 years awaiting for the Lord. During that time, what did God made David do? God sent people in distress, in debt, or in discontent to David so that David could be with them. And their number reached about 400 people. To David, they were not much of a help, but of a huge burden. In order to lead a life of koinonia, David had to offer himself as a koinos to people who are in distress, in debt, and discontent. Yet David did not decline them or reject them, but was in obedience to God, embracing them and accepting them. David had done a wonderful job in accepting them, that their number increased to 600. The reason that God made David wait for 10 years is to let David lead a life of koinonia, building fellowship with many, and to make him a person of koinos. In this fourth Sunday of Advent, waiting for the holy birth of Jesus, who offered himself as a koinos, lived a life of koinonia to communicate with us, and let all of us become the people of koinos, living out the life of koinonia. Let us conclude this year being a person of koinos and begin the new year with a koinos life. May the Lord of Coyness fulfill His will through us who are leading Coyness life and make our new year as a truly new one. Let's pray. We would not have been saved by God if Trinity God had worked only to maintain His nobleness. If the Lord had came down to this world just to pursue the life of virtuous hermits, we would not have had the hope of the salvation. The Holy God did not hesitate to tarnish Himself when He came down to this world in the body of low man, embraced sinners and healed the sick for a koinonia, communicating and building fellowship with unclean sinners. In order to pay the price for our sins, He tainted Himself as a sacrifice of the cross. And in the past year, by making us wait for God, God taught us that the life He wants us to lead is a life of true Christian who does not hesitate to taint himself in order to build fellowship with others. In this fourth Sunday of Advent, celebrating the holy birth of Jesus and waiting for His return, help us live a life true Christian, following the life of the Lord entirely. If we want to lead a noble life just for ourselves with what we have, at the end of the day, our bodies will only rot and disappear. However, help us not forget that we will be used as eternal means of God to make this world new if we gladly taint ourselves and pursue a life of koinonia in order to build fellowship with others. Help us become Ruth. Help us become Ruth, David, Paul, bring a new era by following the Lord of Coyness and living the life of Coyness. In the new year, which is 2 weeks away, help us begin the new year and become truly a new person in the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.